Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have invited back to the program Greg Snell and Lori Sandman of Snell Legal. The website is snelllegal.com with three L's, right, Greg?
That's right.
Okay, snelllegal.com. The telephone number, which I have memorized now, is 677-3232, 386 area code. And that's, of course, on the website as well. Lori, welcome back.
Thank you, David.
You've got a nice big smile on your face today.
Thank you very
much. Glad to be here. Good. I'm enjoying our sunshine.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Excellent. So we've had a previous show talking about some of the basics of patents and trademarks, and of course that's on the davidholland.com website. You want to go and listen. You can go in our archive and find it there. But we brought him back because we want to get into some of the specifics. We kind of left off with our last program talking about patents and trademarks, service marks, trade secrets, copyrights, all those things, which of course Snell Legal can help you with. And what we left off was, okay, if you've got something you think is worth protecting, which often people do think that, they're excited, then it's worth sitting down with an attorney and looking at what you're trying to protect and how which of these, or maybe more than one of these things you might use to protect your thing so that it, you retain the ability to cash in on it.
Correct. And if you have something that you think might be worth protecting, we can sit down and help you determine what it is that would be the best way to protect it and how we might use it to enhance your business.
Excellent. So let's say I'm going to use an example of myself. Greg said I could get some free advice today. So here,
sure.
No, but it's kind of a basic thing, but I think it's really good for our listeners. Because a lot of listeners, especially the business people, think, well, you know, I've done this for 20 years and I've figured out how to take something and make it really work better than what's out there. I just haven't told anybody. And I've adapted this, or I've taken seven things and put them together, and now they are better, stronger, faster than anything else. So I've done that with what I do because I've done financial work for 20 years, and I've had Holland Financial for 16. So I built a process that is planning for people and their retirement, and it works in a way that's unlike anything else in the marketplace. There's no software that does it. I can't find it. I keep looking, and nobody's done it. I've done it, and so I use it every day working with clients. And they love it. Well, so let's say I come to you, Lori, and I say, okay, Lori, I've got it. In fact, I have a company that is interested in licensing my secret recipe, which is true. I've got two companies I'm talking to right now. Not selling to anybody, ladies and gentlemen, but I will let them, what do they say? I can't be bought, but I can be rented. Okay. So they can use my stuff, but I'm going to keep doing what I do for my clients. So I have this, what I would call intellectual property.
Sure. What you actually have here, David, is something that would be considered a business method. And there are...
Okay. So there's a method to my madness?
There's a
method to your madness. I had to say that.
It's absolutely cutting edge. It's the law is changing right now with regard to business method patents.
Traditionally, in a good way?
In a good way. Good. Traditionally, they were not allowed. And as more and more sophisticated methods of doing business have emerged, we've determined that there's a real need to put patented processes in place that people can protect, build, and improve on.
Excellent. So if I say, okay, Lori, I've got my method. Here's my business method. Here's how I build a financial plan for people. Here's how I help them achieve their retirement goals. And I do that by looking at the products and service in the marketplace. But I use PowerPoint. I use Excel. I put all this together in a way. I have a certain way of presenting things. I've got graphs. I've got all the different specific things, but all of this constitutes one thing. Plus, I've got certain things that fit into that, like radio, a financial column in the paper, all of these different things, materials that are drawn from my books, all of those things. All of that is something that if another advisor, financial planner, I'm obviously not going to let anybody else in Volusia, Flagler counties use it, but if somebody from another state or down in South Florida, for example, I allow them to use it, then I would license. I would, first of all, I guess, back up, how do I protect that business method? What, any of these things that we talked about, is there a way to, I'm not going to patent it. Am I going to trademark it? What am I going to do?
Well, it depends. If there are, if it is a patentable business method, if it transforms the information significantly enough, it can be a patented business method.
Oh.
And there is actually some transformation tests that would be applied to determine whether or not it would be an appropriate patent.
That's interesting.
So we would first determine what, again, what types of protections are appropriate. If it's a patentable method, then we'd look to patent it. If There are trade secrets that have to go into it. Obviously, we would want to advise you as to protocols for keeping that secret, to keep it within your company. If there are trademarks that could be applied to distinguish your brand for this particular method, maybe we could promote your business simply by identifying the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is actually to determine what types of intellectual property are appropriate, and then to see about how we get those established for your product or method or service.
Excellent, excellent.
And then what we do is a good, thorough background search to determine what is out there, what's already on the market. Often, by searching what exists in the marketplace, we can learn more and refine the various products or methods that people have by directing them back to maybe some technology that they weren't familiar with that they can actually use and build. In some cases, we do determine that because of what exists in the market, they can't protect it, that it's no longer something that is...
But that advice would let them make another decision, maybe go another direction.
Sure.
Interesting. All right, well, we got to take a quick break. I've found myself forgetting we're on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm soaking this up. I love this subject. Lori Sandman and Greg Snell are at Snell Legal, snelllegal.com, 386-677-3232. We're going to take that quick break. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Snell, Lori Sandman is in the studio with me from Snell Legal, and we're talking about patents and trademarks, and I very selfishly asked Lori about business methods and being able to protect them because of what I do as a financial planner, and maybe being able to leverage what I've taken the time to create that may help other advisors help their clients like I help my clients. So, and we determined that that might be something that either could be patented, or it could be protected in some other way with other provisions or what may be done. So if I want to pursue that, then I call you up, I sit down, and I, of course, it's very important to show you the product, right? To show you. And you mentioned before something I wanted to speak to, which I thought was very interesting. You used the term when you talk about the patenting the business method of it being significantly translated or changed?
Sure. With business methods, you actually have to transform.
Transform it. Okay.
Raw data into something that is going to be considered a method.
All right. Well, in my case, the reason I want to come back to that, I translate Finglish into English. So that's what a lot of it is, because this stuff is all gobbledygook for most people, and we translate it. So whatever is then the appropriate way of protecting that, that might be a patent, let's say we can't patent it, okay? Let's say it just doesn't fit.
Sure.
Then I could say, okay, Lori, I still want to protect it. What can I do to give myself a measure of protection? Obviously, there's trade secrets, and I want to license it to somebody. Can I have you prepare an agreement that the person would sign where they recognize it's a trade secret, so they also keep the secret, so to speak?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of different types of licensing that we can do, you know, from traditional types of contracting to very specific licensing that allow various users exclusive use, or maybe use within certain areas of
their
business.
Like territories are protected. Okay.
Or even within certain areas of commerce. You might want to allow your product to go in to one area of commerce and not want to see it used in a different area. So we can do quite a bit in terms of working with you to assure that your product is going where you want it and being used by the people in the businesses that are appropriate.
Well, in fact, you have to be very specific, you know, if you want to protect your intellectual property. And because if you let somebody go out there and dilute the value of your mark, or if you have a trademark, or you let them use your intellectual property in various ways, you can basically lose those rights. And a lot of times there's some confusion I don't know if we want to get off on this tangent, but between whether or not when you think you've licensed something, whether you've actually licensed it or you've sold it. And that can have some serious implications one way or the other. And a lot of times people don't know and they make a mistake.
And that's why we're talking about, because I would not, I know enough to know that you've got to be really careful with how you do this, because you can end up or inadvertently lose your rights, but you've sold them. I mean, you've conferred the rights, not realizing that you thought you were renting them and you're not.
Sure. And there, you also can lose your rights by not enforcing your exclusivity of them.
Right.
If you don't exclude others from using your trademark or your logo, then you could lose the ability to.
Well, that's something I want to come back and talk about. We're going to take another quick break. Greg Snell and Lori Sandman, Snell Legal, snelllegal.com, 386-677-3232. Come back and talk about, let's say we've got these things in place. I want to come back and talk about protecting the property and what you have to do if somebody violates.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Snell and Lori Sandman are in the studio with me, snelllegal.com. So we've taken the time, Lori, to put together everything the right way, okay? We've done it the right way. We haven't made any mistakes. We've got it all set up. And then, well, let's go back to my real-world example. Let's say you've got me straight on my business method. I've licensed it to a company. They then have, at part of the agreement, they have the ability to select and allow others to use it that are associated with their company. And then I find out that one of those advisors has given it to their buddy or brother or whoever across the country and has violated the agreement, right?
Sure.
So what do I then do?
Well,
after I call you, what do we then do?
Well, if you bring it to us, we will sit down and talk about how that misappropriation may have happened. There are clear indications that you have been ripped off. We can determine if you've done everything appropriately to keep your intellectual property locked up, how we want to exclude the infringer from utilizing your property in the wrong
way. So you've got, what's the word for that? There's your fancy legal
cease
word.
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist and make them stop using it. That's step one.
Initially, you demand that they stop.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we try. That's okay. The first step, usually.
And then beyond that, of course, then is damage.
Often with intellectual property, if you put the infringer, potential infringer on notice, your damages will be much larger if you are infringed by somebody who's willfully infringing.
Okay.
So those damages can easily be tripled.
And they can also be specified. All that can be all pre-specified in the agreement. Look, if you share this with anybody else and they use it, so like a financial planner licensed planner is using my stuff, but then he shares it with somebody else, then it can be in the agreement, the specific damages at a minimum, right?
Sure. Well, okay. And you know, yeah. How many times do we all go on online somewhere? For example, we have some software we got, or we're going on, we would go on some website, we want to look at something, and you have to do that little user agreement. You
right.
know, that's where there's probably something like that in there. We'll take your firstborn child, and,
right.
you know, if you do this. But the problem is when you're dealing with the person that they've given it to, you obviously you don't have that agreement with them.
Ah, I gotcha.
But one of the things you do, of course, as you've already touched on, is if you want to get sort of the best protection you can under the law, if you have a patentable idea, you get it patented, because those laws give you certain protections and measures of damages.
Right.
And so do trademarks. If you can have a trademark under common law, you don't have to register a trademark, but if you do register it either in a state or under the federal system, you have additional rights, and those particularly pertain to damages, mostly to damages. So
there's two things there. There's the the infringing party, which is the one that is giving it to somebody else, and then you have the person who's not using it. You put them on notice to stop using it because they may be innocent enough. It may be an innocent violator, but they're not party to the agreement, so they just need to be told, look.
Well, they're an infringer. They just maybe didn't know they were an infringer. Okay. You see this a lot of times, and I think people are more sensitive to this now, but you see like photographs.
Right, right.
Photographers have these rights in photographs, and you might take it off the internet or something. You've seen it, but you're violating somebody's rights when you do that. And some of them get pretty, you know, obviously, and they have to, as we said earlier, if they don't protect their intellectual property rights, they can lose them. So people are often shocked and surprised. They think sometimes they can use anything and everything they want,
mm-hmm.
but you can't. There is the fair use doctrine, which we don't necessarily, you know, we don't have enough time to get into all of these things, but there are instances of where you can use other people's intellectual property.
Some things are kind of in the public domain.
Right.
Right.
Like your books. No, I'm just kidding.
No, my books, actually, that's very easy, Greg. They are available on my website, davidholland.com, or amazon.com for purchase. See how easy that is?
Yeah, they're well worth the money.
Thank you. Well,
I have them myself.
I know you do, and I'm glad, and Lori does too. She's got homework. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Greg Snell and Lori Sandman.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
Welcome back. We are with Greg Snell and Lori Sandman of Snell Legal. The website, of course, is snelllegal.com. And we're talking about this very interesting area of protecting your intellectual property. We've talked about some of the different types. We talked about enforcing. We talked about all of that. And that's the work of litigators. That's litigation, right?
Yeah. You know, there's many things you can do. And under those laws that I mentioned with the federal copyright law or the federal trademark law, there are measures of damages, and you can go under those laws like the Lanham Act for trademark infringement and seek those damages there. Often, too, what people will be doing is seeking an injunction to stop the infringement.
That's the word I was looking for, injunction.
So we've got the cease
and desist. I want injunctive relief.
Now we're getting injunctive relief. We had a case in a previous show with you. We touched on this where I was involved, and we had one of my clients that got sued. Somebody claimed that they were infringing on their intellectual property.
Mm.
As it turned out, it was really just a mechanism to be able to kind of stop them in their business because they were competing and they were doing very well and they didn't like it. But it was a way they tried to stop these other people. I mean, it's a tool. Sometimes you can use it for good, and sometimes you're not using it for good. That, as you may recall, ending up in about a $19 million jury verdict against an insurance company that didn't choose to defend our client in that case in federal court in Kentucky. So we know a lot about enforcing rights and what is intellectual property and protectable and what isn't. So we know, you know, a lot of times we'll run into situations where we're on the other side too.
Right, right.
Sometimes people are trying to keep somebody that we represent from infringing supposedly or that sort of thing. And we know whether there is or
there
isn't.
So there's two sides of this too, right? I mean,
we counterclaim.
Somebody could be innocently enough, you know, they've developed their own technologies, their own intellectual property, and unbeknownst to them, somebody has done the exact same thing somewhere else and they've got it. They've got a Lori Sandman over there who's got them protected to the gills with the proper copyrights and protections, and they don't realize they have done it, and then they have to defend themselves, and you can do that as well.
Well, Lori could explain too, and I think maybe she sort of alluded to this, but there is a new law that's coming out very soon that will have some fairly significant effect on patent law in particular. But, well, maybe I'll just let Lori talk about that real briefly because that might be of interest to the audience to know.
Yeah, please
about
do,
that.
Lori.
Well, particularly patent law is changing at the moment. The America Invents Act is working some changes on what has been a long-standing traditional legal system, and the new laws actually do change somewhat what can be considered prior art, which would preclude you from being able to get a patent. And also that would be that would affect if you have disclosed your ideas, if you have spoken with other people commercially or published an article or written something that will preclude you. Those laws are now shifting so that it may be more difficult to be able to get that patent eventually.
Well, yeah, and you kind of were getting to what I was getting. There are certain circumstances where people will have a patent, and then they'll sue somebody for infringement. And the way these people defend that is to say, oh, wait a minute now. Your idea was out there before. You should have never gotten a patent.
I got you.
And they basically can undo. You think you're sitting pretty, you know, but you no longer have your patent. So it's a tricky business.
Interesting stuff. Well, I think the key thing for any business person, whether they're on one side of this or the other, whether they've got something they want to protect or they're in a position where they find out somebody else has got something and they really need to say, look, how do I make sure that this is out there. How do I make sure that I don't infringe? I still want to do business, but how do I make sure? Look at this and help me make sure I work around it. I want to respect their patent because I don't want to be sued and I don't want to go out of business. So how do I make sure I work? So there's a lot of nuance to this.
Sure. And that's what makes it important to talk with professionals who can help you assess what you have and how to protect it.
And to be a patent attorney, you have to be unique and have certain qualifications. There are only 200 in Florida. Lori is one of only 200 patent attorneys in Florida.
That's not that many. Because there's 14 or 15 million attorneys, right? I'm just kidding. All right, Greg. All right, Lori. We are out of time. Greg Snell, Lori Sandman, and the firm is Snell Legal. Website is snelllegal.com, 386-677-3232. Thanks for being with me.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for having us.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.